News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we got still things happening down in Montgomery that I'm going to be talking about here in just 1 second. Not the least of which is House Bill 123, which appears to just reach final passage, which is called the Nick Reisner Act. I'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let me tell you, though, real quickly, it's 4:36 p.m. A lot of y'all are in drive-home mode already. A beautiful day for driving home, too. I'm pretty sure this is like a take-the-top-off-my-Jeep day. But, yeah, all that to say, when you're going home, you may be thinking, what am I doing for dinner? Yeah, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Let me say it again. Subliminal messaging. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe. But you might want to think about Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. They've got a great menu. I know it's coffee, right? Coffee's definitely there, and coffee's good there. I mean, they've got, it's Just Love Coffee Cafe, right? So, but the cappuccinos, the lattes, the mochas, and just, you know, a steaming cup of hot, black, freshly ground coffee. Yes, they've got all that. They've also got an incredible menu of salads and wraps and sandwiches and any number of things that you might want to just grab on the way home or just enjoy sitting there using their Wi-Fi, visiting with friends, breakfast for dinner. They got all of it. Check it out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall and South Memorial Parkway near Whole Foods. Check them out and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, so things that are happening right now, there is a bill moving its way through the final stages of the legislative process. It is called the, its nickname is the Nick Reisner Act. Back in October of last year, Officer Nick Reisner over in, I think, Sheffield County, or in the community of Sheffield, was killed by a guy who was out of prison who had only served 3 years of a 10-year sentence. And this particular bill would not give credit for a good time, because that's what happened. He got good time credit, which is a way of reducing his sentencing and clearing people out of the legislature, out of the prison system. And, you know, it's just not seen to be truly effective when someone is a violent criminal to then allow them to have, quote unquote, good time. So they come back out on the streets. Nick Reisner was a police officer with many years. He was a young guy, solid apparently, and was killed. And his death sparked outrage. And the bill was co-sponsored by Representative Philip Pettis from Killen, who's a retired state trooper himself. So yes, it appears that that bill just reached final passage. I think there was an amendment, and that amendment is going to have to go back to the House for concurrence. But they are moving through their calendars at glacial pace, and we'll see what happens. You want to call in, talk about any of this stuff, 866-494-9866. Call in, 866-494-9866. So, yeah, lots of things happening down there in Montgomery today. Now, the crazy thing is they've left themselves no time. Now, I don't think there's anything the governor's going to wind up vetoing. All right, but here's what happens. We had to override Governor Bentley's veto several times while I was there, and we may have overridden one Governor Ivy veto, but I can't recall because she filled the last 2 years of Bentley's second term. But all that to say, the way the legislative process works right now, what's happening is they are on their final calendars, a calendar being the list of bills they're going to do for a day, and both houses. You know, sometimes you would love to believe they would save the easy bills, right? The ones where love can break out on the end. But no, what winds up happening too often is the most controversial bills get pushed back so they can get other things done. And yeah, that's where we are today. Apparently, there are a number of controversial bills, some of which already passed. But what happens is, and if I say something you already know, just forgive me. But for those of you that don't and you're not aware, the way it works is one house. One body passes a piece of legislation. It gets transferred to the other after it goes through the whole committee process and then back out to the floor again. If there's an amendment, and it could be an amendment in the committees, or it could be an amendment on the floor. If there's an amendment and it gets passed with the amendments, it has to go back to the House of Origin. And then they have to either concur, which is one option, to say, yeah, we agree with that. Sorry, we didn't see it ourselves. Good on you. Thanks, Senate, or thanks, House. They can concur. If they concur, you're done. Goes to the governor. Or they can choose not to concur, which means the bill could die, or they could take it up again. Or most often happens when they don't concur, they don't concur, it goes to conference, really. And they don't concur, it goes to conference. And in conference, you pick members of the Senate, usually three, and members of the House, three. And they sit down in a room and sort of mediate. And they work through, well, why not? Well, why this? Well, how about this? Can you do it that way? And they work through their issues, and they come back out and give the report of the committee on conference of the bill, whatever, HB, whatever. And then at that point, generally speaking, if things haven't broken down, generally speaking, the conference committee report is adopted, the bill is achieving final passage, and it goes to the governor. Now, the crazy thing is, there's different ways the governor can handle it. Of course, the governor, more often than not on most bills, when they come through the legislative process, just simply signs them. And once the governor's wet ink signature is on those bills, I mean literally signs them, shabam, it becomes a law on whatever the effective date was assigned by the legislature. Because sometimes they'll say things like, this law goes into effect on so-and-so date. And if they, you know, if it's a delayed, it might be, you know, goes into effect upon immediate execution of the governor's signature. Or it goes into effect on so-and-so date. The other thing, though, the governor can do is veto it and send it back with the governor's expected corrections. In other words, the governor can send it back and say, I have done a line item veto. At that point, the legislature can say, you know, we don't agree. Or, okay, governor, we're not going to fight you on this. We agree. That can happen. Or the governor can just veto it altogether. The legislature has a chance to override that too. And then there's a thing called the pocket veto, a nickname for it. Basically, it means the governor chooses not to sign it at all. Just lets it sit. Just sit. Don't do anything with it. It just sits. It's as if the governor put it in their pocket and walked away. So it's called a pocket veto. The pocket veto, there's nothing much you can do with that. There's been no action taken by the executive branch. Therefore, there's nothing for the legislative branch to override, and it ran out of time because it sat on the governor's desk and got the old pocket veto. That happens too. All right, we're going to wait and see, but I would imagine that these bills I've talked about today are going to wind up, you know, achieving not only final passage from the legislature, but a signature by the governor. And I think it was who said this earlier, but I think it's in the best interest. Yeah. Oh, it was Senator Shelnut. Yes, I believe it's in the governor's best interest to sign these bills once they get to her. Another bill, by the way, that came up and just died in a pile. In fact, I think it might be the only bill of this particular legislative session that did not get cloture when a cloture petition was dropped. And by the way, that's one of the other procedural things that happens. You can filibuster a bill, but at some point, debate has to end if what's known as a cloture petition signed by X number of members of the Rules Committee in the House or the Senate is introduced. So I was on the Senate Rules Committee, and so it was not uncommon for Senator Wagner, who was the chair, to walk around the room going, all right, we're going to kill debate on this thing if everybody agrees. Phil, will you sign the petition with me? Sure. And as long as we had the right number of signatures, we could drop that thing in, and as soon as we handed it to the clerk, they would interrupt the debate and say, we have a report from the Committee on Rules, petition to enter cloture, signed by, they'd name the names, and it would set a 20-minute clock in the Senate. Debate ends at so-and-so time, at which point we vote, and we vote on cloture, which means, yeah, we entered the petition, but we could still lose on getting cloture done. You have to vote for cloture. Well, they had a Republican bill that died today on a cloture petition. When you have a Republican bill that's already passed one of the bodies and gone to the other and then been debated in committee and on the floor, made it onto the calendar and goes through debate, and there was enough signatures wanting the cloture to take place, and it doesn't pass? I mean, it died. On a procedural, the bill died. It was a bill, by the way, to abolish the state auditor's office. I'm for limiting government, but I question getting rid of the auditor's office. It also wouldn't have even taken effect until 2030. I mean, what's that about? If you think it's worth doing, do it. That bill was introduced by the guy who took my place, Senator Andrew Jones, who now holds the seat for Senate District 10. That was my seat. So, oh boy, has got nothing to put on his campaign signs about that one. Of course, he's running unopposed. But anyway, nonetheless, Senator Andrew Jones, just his bill died in a pile. because he couldn't even get a procedural vote from his Republican supermajority friends. That's kind of crazy. And it was a bill, by the way, ostensibly to limit government, but it would have crushed or demolished the auditor's department, which is the department that checks and makes sure that all of our stuff is still there and audits the books. I don't get it. All right, Copper, take us to a break. Folks, we'll come back here in just 1 minute. You want to call in? I still got time. Nobody called in on that segment. That's kind of crazy. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, time now, 4:53 PM. A lot of you guys are already on the road. Let me just tell you, if you're headed home, and you get home on a day like this where the warm weather has been in, it was like 77 degrees yesterday. Today, it's in the 60s. We hear over the weekend, it's going to be pretty cool. You're going from air conditioning to heat and back again. Well, that kind of freaks out your system sometimes, and you might need to know that Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning is there for you on whatever you need for all your HVAC, whether it be installations or repairs or servicing. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, they serve all of the Madison, Huntsville surrounding areas, and they're open 6 days a week, folks. That's one of the things that gives me the biggest kick about Vandy's is they are open 6 days a week. They will come out on a Saturday if necessary to make sure that you're up and running and not having to swelter through the weekend. So yeah, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, gas or electric system, does not matter. Locally owned, veteran owned, yes. Check them out, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, and they've got a special right now. They will come out and prep your system, service them for the hot weather months coming up, $69 per unit. And if anything happens, that unit needs more repair work over the coming year, that's 10% off the repairs. They'll give you a free estimate on any work. They won't upsell you. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, you can call them at 256-225-7311. That's 256-225-7311. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Couple of other things that are happening right now. Yellowhammer News reporting that State Representative Wes Allen successfully passed a piece of legislation. You may recall we've had Wes Allen on the show before. He is also running for Secretary of State right now to fill the seat being vacated by John Merrill. But State Representative Wes Allen had a bill that it bans the use of private funds in influencing the administration of Alabama elections. It's not talking about campaign donations. It's talking about basically you can't go out, state and local officials can't go out and solicit or accept money from private or non-governmental entities to help them offset the cost of running elections. Meaning what you don't want to have happen is activist groups, you know, even for that matter, conservative groups. It doesn't matter. You don't want the Tea Party. You don't want Black Lives Matter. You don't want, you know, the transgender rights. If there's a major, here's another thing. Think about this. If there's a major piece of legislation right now on the ballot, like say gambling, and the casinos decide to put big money into helping, hey, we'll help you. We'll staff you with some people there at the polls. How will that be? We'll even provide, we'll provide buses to the polls. How will that be? That'll be great. We'll do that for you, local official. No, can't do it. So this particular bill, basically, it bans what they called Zuckerbucks, which is coined after Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg literally, you know, went out and distributed grants to help election administrators nationwide in 2020. It's just one more way of making sure there's not undue influence in the running of elections. Other things that happened, bill passed today, I believe, or last night, actually last night. The Alabama legislature also passed a bill that says that if you are going to draw unemployment benefits, you have to show proof of attempting at least three times a week to find a job. No more of this kind of loosey-goosey, are you showing effort? No, now you have to provide proof that you have applied at least 3 times for a job in a week, every week. And if you're going to draw unemployment compensation off of the government dole, that's what it's there for. It's there to help you through a hard time. It is not there to prop up a lifestyle of inactivity and non-productivity. So what they're saying is, if you are capable of work, you need to be seeking work, and you will have to seek work and prove it at least 3 times every single week. There's that. A lot of things happening. The legislature is still in down there. They got a calendar ongoing. If I were to flip over right now to hashtag AL Politics on Twitter, there is still a variety of things before the body. We don't yet have concurrence on the bill that would prevent transgender use of bathrooms and locker rooms in schools. We're hoping the House is going to take what the Senate did, just concur with it and be done and send it to the governor. And there's I think that debate is going on perhaps even right now, because Representative Wandling Gavan, who is quite the activist herself, is up dealing with it. Yeah, the Alabama House right now taking up the amended bathroom bill, moving to concur. Okay, they're moving to concur. In other words, he's not saying, the bill sponsor is not asking for non-concurrence. He is saying, let's concur with this. And the debate is going on even as I speak. So there's that. That's happening. All right, folks, you're going to want to be here today. Tomorrow at 3:30, I believe it is, I've got Tim James going to be right here in the studio with me. We'll have him live here in studio, spending some time with us, talking about his campaign, about the issues as he sees them as a gubernatorial candidate, sort of get a feel for where he's headed in his campaign. Polls are showing that right now he is the number two candidate in the race. Of course, the incumbent is usually always number one. But right now, he is the front runner for second place. That's a lot. I got like one piece of the Triple Dipper done today. One. But man, what a full show. Well, listen, it's an honor to have this platform, an honor to be with you every day. Copper and I are back again tomorrow at 2. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You have a great night.